We're just starting out with Genesis chapter 4. We found that God alone is the one that gives life in verse number 1, chapter 4. In Genesis, it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground." Everyone, the reason she names her son Abel was she thought maybe he was the Redeemer. She'd gotten a man from the Lord. God had promised that Redeemer. And then we understood that every life, the life of every person, is given by God. God's the one that flips a switch, not us. Not doctors, not terrorists. God is the one that flips a switch. And so we don't have to worry about those things. God gave life, and God's the only one that can take it away. And God protects us as well. You know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We can't think too highly of ourselves and our abilities and things like that. So that's pretty much where we left off. But this morning, as we start getting into Cain and Abel here, Cain was born a sinner. Now, how do we know that? People say, well, you know, when you're dealing with people, when you're trying to win people to Christ, a lot of times it's hard to get them lost. But if you'll understand this, what we're covering here, it is much easier to help them understand that they are lost. And there's some very basic things, but so many times we overlook them. We try to talk to them, say, well, you know, you didn't rob a bank, or they'll say, I didn't rob a bank, or I haven't killed anybody, or anything like that. So I'm really not that bad and everything. Well, it has nothing to do with that. So as we come into here, Cain is a sinner, Genesis 4, 1 and 2, we just read that. But because their father, Abraham, was a sinner, sin was passed down and imputed to him, to Cain and Abel, his children. That's why it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now notice something here. Both Cain and Abel, one saved, one lost. They were both born sinners. Okay? Now, how do we know that? Because they were born outside of the garden. This is so simple. It really is. It's not deep theological. You know, you don't have to go to Bible college to figure this out. They were both born outside of the garden. If you're talking to somebody and he just doesn't seem, or she doesn't seem to think that they're that bad of a sinner, ask, were you born in the garden or were you born outside of the garden? And the fact is, all of us have been born outside of the garden. Both Cain and Abel, born outside of the garden. What's the key there? They're away from the tree of life. The only thing that could give eternal life was that tree of life. So they are born outside of the garden, Garden of Eden, where the tree of life is. And God put the cherubim there to keep man from going back into the garden so that they cannot partake of the tree of life. And if they would try, then they would be killed by the cherubim and not have access to that tree of life. So this concept here, Cain and Abel shared the fate of their parents. And that fate was separation from God. They were separated from their source of life because of the parents' sin. Cain and Abel also were shut out from the garden, separated from God with physical bodies that would now eventually die because they did not have access to eternal life. Now they will physically die, born outside of the garden. The key is that tree of life. And the only way you could get access to that was through going into the garden and eating of that fruit. But God promised that he was going to give a redeemer, that other means whereby man could have eternal life. There is no other way. It is either by that tree of life or it is by Jesus Christ. Now, Cain and Abel were born into Satan's family. Satan's family. Notice all of those all the way down. You have Cain, Abel, Seth on the first row, and it goes on and on and on and on until you and I. They were not born in God's perfect image. They were unable to know God in their lost state. They were unable to love God the way God wants to be loved. Only God can give them that eternal life. So through Canaan, though Cain and Abel had been given physical life by God, they were alienated from him by sin, from birth. Separated from him because their father, Adam, was separated from him. They were in the garden. They did not eat of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God put them out of the garden, would not allow them to go back into the garden, and he specifically states, lest they eat of that tree of life. That's the key there. So we're all born sinners because of our ancestor, who is Adam. Because we're all descendants of Adam, who was separated from God because of his disobedience, we were all born sinners cut off from God. That's why in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So it's obvious what God teaches here. Adam chose to follow Satan, obey him. So all of Adam's descendants now are born into Satan's family, or they're born on Satan's side. If you remember when we covered that God's side and Satan's side, every person, every child is born on Satan's side. And there's only one way that they can come back into a relationship with God. They cannot go into the garden and eat that fruit. So there's only one, absolutely one way. So even though we've been given this physical life, no one is born in unity or in fellowship with God. If Adam hadn't sinned, we would have been born in God's perfect image, able to love him, able to understand him, fellowship with him. Everything would have been perfect. And we would have been obeying God perfectly in that garden. But as a result, Satan has taken the place as our spiritual father. Many people don't understand this. That's why in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he says, ye are of your father, who? The devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We walk as lost people after Satan, who is our father, our spiritual father. We lost that fatherhood, if you want to call it that, when we were separated, when we were born outside of that garden, we were born as children of the devil. Now, watch this. In First John chapter 3 and verse number 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And this term is one that continually or practices sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the things of the devil, to be that redeemer, to buy us back, to give us eternal life that only could have come through the tree of life. So because we are born outside of the garden, separated from that tree of life, there's only one way that anyone can gain eternal life. And that's why God promised the Redeemer and gave us that Redeemer. So what does all this tell us? Through God's word, there are fundamental, unchangeable, foundational truths that will form our worldview. Remember, that's what we started out. We're trying to set down for ourselves a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview. And we've already found several times that because of our culture, we as Christians have adopted the world's view and not the Christian worldview. And so this is why we're taking this time to lay this foundation down there. For example, number one, God created everything in 6 days and it was all good. Just basic truth there. God created man special in his image. He was immortal. There was only two genders. God gave man a free will. He created man separate from animals so that there is no such thing as evolution. Man did not evolve, which tells me what? There is no child that is a cat. There's no child that goes to school and says, I'm a dog, even though the public school says they're a dog or they're a cat. Why? Because they said they're a cat. Well, God said they're not a cat. God said they're a boy or a girl. When you accept the world's view, you say, yes, there are so many genders. No, there's not. Why? Because the Christian worldview, God says there's only two, and that settled it. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to try to figure it out. God said it. That forms my Christian worldview. And I don't care what any newscast says. I don't care what any politician or any psychologist or psychiatrist, they probably need one themselves, says. God said there's only two genders. And because I hold that Christian worldview, that determines who I vote for. I'm not voting for somebody that says a kid's a cat. You say, this gets into politics too? Yes. If you have a world view, then you can't say anything against them. Sodomy's okay. Transgenders, that's okay. Hey, God killed them. God said, rid your country of them. Look, we got to get back to the Bible. God said it's sin. And no matter what anybody else says, we have to have a Christian worldview that says it is wrong and have the spiritual guts to stand up and say it's wrong. I don't think it's enough to just believe it's wrong. If you believe something's wrong and you allow it to go on, or don't even try to stop it, I mean, you're just as guilty. Well, I don't believe that. No, but you allow it to go on. That's like parents. They say, well, you know, I believe in child discipline, but they won't discipline their own children. Then they've got the world view, not the biblical view. It covers every aspect. And that's why we've got to take a real close look at these things. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they were separated from God by sin. You've got to know what sin is. The world does that. They redefine it. Now they're saying, these guys and politicians are saying it's okay to go in and rob stores. You're just acting out. You know, your mom and daddy or somebody made you feel bad along the way. So it's okay for you to go in and steal something from somebody else. It's okay for you to knock somebody in the head walking down the street. I mean, you know, you had a bad upbringing. Somebody treated you wrong. That's the world's view. But God says, no, there is sin in the world, and God tells us what sin is. God reveals to man his mercy and his grace, and we've covered this in several different aspects. Number five, God shows us that there are consequences to our actions and decisions. Now, that's contrary to the world view. And if a politician gets up there and he's not going to make people stand accountable for their sins, he's teaching against God. Because God says there's consequences for sin. And we need to stand strong that there are consequences and make them pay the price. That's why you got somebody robs a bank, or they hurt somebody, or they even murdered somebody here a while back the other day, and they let them right back out on the street. There's no consequences. God says there are consequences for sin, because the day that Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they died spiritually. And because of that, they were separated, put out of the garden, and being out of the garden now, being separated from God, their source of life, now they have to die physically. That's why we wear these glasses. And that's why we have about 100 doctor's appointments a month. Because God's word is true. Now, we know that Adam and Eve are the ancestors of the entire human race, all born separated from the tree of life. Get a hold of that. Use it when you're witnessing, because that just cuts through all the other arguments and stuff. When you're separated from that tree of life, when you're separated from the garden, you're a sinner. You were born outside of the garden. We know that God promised to provide redemption for mankind through a blood sacrifice. And we know that blood sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. Theirs initially became the sacrifice was the lambs, those from the flock, he said. And then as we continued on, then we understand that there was and is nothing, absolutely nothing that man can do to make himself acceptable to God. What does religion say? Well, if you just get baptized, if you just take the communion, well, if you just treat your neighbor right. No, God said there is nothing that man can do to make himself acceptable unto God. Get a hold of that. Well, I didn't rob a bank. Well, I'm glad you didn't. However, you still were born outside the garden. because you're a sinner. And your father was Adam. There's nothing man can do to make himself acceptable to God. Number nine, Adam and Eve made the choice to accept God's promise and his provision to redeem them. God gives man a free will. Take this, what do they call it? I can't even, Calvinism. Throw it out the window. Don't even entertain it. Why? Because they're going against the word of God. They have a world view. They don't have a biblical view. They say God forces people to go to heaven or forces people to go. No, he didn't send the people to hell because he chose. They chose not to receive him. Man is given a free choice. It's not unconditional election. God gave man a free choice. And number 10, we know that every child is born is a descendant of Adam and Eve, not a kitty cat or a dog. It makes no difference. Well, I was born a woman. No, I wasn't. Well, I there's a woman body in my body. No, it's not. That's totally a worldly view. And God said, every child that is born is a descendant, a male or a female, after Adam and Eve. That was where they come from, not from animals or anything else. And number 11, every descendant is born outside of where? Hello, outside of the garden. I want you to get that. I want to drill that into your mind because that is so vitally important, and you can use it when you're witnessing. They're born outside of the garden. I don't care if it's your relatives. It's hard to get relatives lost. But when you sit down and you start talking about what side were you born? Were you born in the garden? Well, duh, no, I wasn't. Then that makes you a sinner. Because every person that was born outside of the garden had no access to the tree of life. And it makes no difference how good you are or how bad you are. You're a descendant of Adam, and you are lost without God's Redeemer. It's very, very simple to prove these things from the Word of God. Say they cannot partake of the tree of life. So every child born a sinner, separated from God, and he's under Satan's control. So get a hold of that. That's why I'm harboring on that, because it's so vitally important. It's so simple. But we go right past it, and we miss one of the most valuable tools of soul winning. Now, some of the foundational truths. I just covered these. Why am I getting behind time? My mind's still on missions. I've been preaching missions. So let's go on. I'll run through all these. There we go. Now we're back where we're supposed to be. So Cain and Abel, we've laid the foundation. Our biblical worldview, observing what God says, what God teaches, the response, the way he deals with man, when you're reading the Bible, how does God respond? Yes, what does he say, but how does he respond? How does he respond to this king? How did he respond to David? Even this wicked king, the most wicked king in Israel, Manasseh, yet towards the end of his life, because he repented. And you see how God dealt mercifully with him. Even the most wicked, God wants to save. So Cain and Abel, they come and both of them present their offerings to God. okay? This is the first application there of the foundation here. Cain and Abel both came to present their offering to God. Look in verse 3, Genesis 4:3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the first or of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Who'd he make it to? Who was he worshiping? Hello. I see what you say, Dennis. Everybody's dead. You said they were buried before. No, Hopkins. That is a question. Who was Cain worshiping? Jehovah God. He was worshiping God. Remember who Abraham was worshiping before he ever got saved? Built altars to him. Four different times he builds an altar and worships and prays to a God he does not even know. Not until later, when God says, count the stars, then Abram said, now I understand who I'm dealing with. And it says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. From that point, he got saved. But before that, he was worshiping who? When you go back to Israel, when they were worshiping the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. And people say, well, they're just in wicked idolatry. Who was they worshiping? Who were they worshiping? It says that Aaron declared that day a feast day unto Jehovah. They were worshiping God, but not the way God said, and God will not accept it. So Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto Jehovah, the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his what? His flock, that sheep, and of the fat thereof. Now, why the fat? Why is that important? Because that's one of the things that God specified whenever you sacrificed. He wanted that fat burned to him. All the way through, when you go through the tabernacle, you see that he puts that, they were supposed to take the fat separate and offer that to, God says, that's mine. Interesting stuff when you get into this. They knew exactly what God required in a sacrifice. Now, where'd they find that? Where'd they get that from? They got it from God. God gave it to Adam and Eve. God taught them, and Adam and Eve teaches their children. Where do your children get Bible principles from? Pastor, church, Sunday school teacher? That's not what they're supposed to, we're supposed to get it. They're supposed to get it from you, moms and dads. God give that responsibility to mom and dad, not the Sunday school teacher. If they go haywire, don't you blame the Sunday school teacher. Don't you blame a preacher. It's the parents. God gave you the responsibility, and you can see what has happened here, that Adam and Eve have taught their children. They didn't just single out Abel over here and say, okay, Abel, this is what you're going to do, and didn't tell Cain. No, they taught both of them. That's why both of them came and offered as an offering unto the Lord. Because they knew their parents had taught them what they were supposed to be doing. So it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Even though both of them were worshiping who? And what were they doing? Offering. They brought an offering to him. They're worshiping God. And God says, I will not accept this one. I will accept this one. What's the difference? One of them is obeying God. The other is not. It's not that hard. And it says, but unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect, and Cain got upset. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You can see it on his face. He got angry. He got mad. Who'd he get mad at? God. He was mad at God. You say, but he killed Adam or Abel. That's what people do. If they get mad at God in the service when God has the pastor preach on a particular sin and it happens to be yours, and I mean he digs that arrow in there good and then twists it a little bit, and who do you get mad at? God. But you can't get a hold of God. So what do? You attack the preacher. You attack the church. You attack other people. Instead of repenting and saying, boy, God, that's right. That is in my heart. That's sin in my life. And instead of repenting and getting it right, we do the same thing Cain did. We can't get a hold of God, but boy, I can sure lash out and get my brother. It's his fault because he's exposing me. No, we need to repent and do what's right. Cain believed in the existence of God just as much as Abel did. We know that because they both came to worship God. They both brought their offerings to him. But notice that Cain's belief that there was a God did not make him acceptable unto God himself. You have people all over and they say, well, I believe in God. Well, I'm glad you do. That's why whenever I pass out my tract, are you a Christian? One of the first things I say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm glad you're a Christian. How long have you been a Christian? Well, all my life, or my parents were Christian, or Uncle Joe's a preacher, or something like that. And I don't stuff them in a hole. I say, I'm glad you're concerned about spiritual things. Let me show you something. And I start showing them in the tract that they're a sinner and that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Cain believed just as much as Abel that God existed. Cain gave his offering to God, but that didn't make him acceptable. People come to worship in churches all over town and all over this state and all over America and the world. They're worshiping today. Who are they worshiping? Jehovah. Is God accepting their worship? How are they worshiping? What do they really believe? Cain was born a sinner, separated from God because his father Adam was a sinner. His only hope was to come to God the way God said. If we do not come to God the way God says, well, I'm going to get baptized. Well, I'm going to try to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to try to treat my neighbor right. All the different things that you hear. Oh, I'm going to speak in tongues. Well, that's fine. You're not, but God has to reveal himself and his way of salvation to everyone. And God says he's done that. He wrote the law on our hearts. Why? To show us we are sinners. We can't keep the law. And God says all the way through the New Testament, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith, not of works. Why? Because we'd boast. I did this or I did that. No. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Some people think it's enough just to acknowledge that God exists, but James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Being religious, praying, worship will not make you acceptable to God. How many times have I visited people in the hospital and you're talking to them about salvation and everything and say, well, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Well, God healed me. God answered my prayer. Well, I'm glad he did, if he did. And I'm glad you're healed, if you are. But that's not the requirement of salvation. What are they doing? They're doing Cain. They're saying because this happened or this happened or this work or that, well, I believe God's there. Where does it say in the Bible that if you get your prayers answered, that you're going to heaven? If you get healed, there are people that got healed in the Bible when Jesus healed this man, and he jumping up and down and running around and hooting and hollering and praise God, I'm healed, I'm healed. And they said, who did this? I said, I don't know. Now, is he healed or not? Yes. And he didn't even know who Jesus was. Not until later, after they booted him out of the temple and he's down here and Jesus confronts him again and talking to him about salvation, talking about Savior. And he said, who is he that I might believe on him? That I'm the one. I'm he. And then he gets saved. Oh, he was healed, but he wasn't saved. Healing does not make you a Christian. Getting a prayer answered, I'm no doubt his mom and daddy had prayed for years that he'd get healed, and he'd probably prayed that he would get healed, and all of a sudden, he's healed. Still not saved. Salvation is by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross to pay for our sins. And when we put our faith and trust in him, whether we're healed or not, we might even die of our sickness. And that's okay. But our sins are forgiven, and we'll be in heaven with a glorified body. Amen? Now, so when Adam and Eve sinned, they had no way of restoring their broken relationship with God. Cain and Abel had no way of restoring their broken relationship with God. So without God intervention in their situation, they are hopeless. They're hopeless. So God shows his mercy and his grace by offering a way for them to come to him. He tells them how to come to him. If they agreed with God that they were sinners and they come to him, that God says, if you offer this sacrifice, if your heart is right, they approach God with that blood sacrifice. Obviously, God has instructed them to do that, and then they would be saved. That it had to be killed exactly the way God said, everything just the way God says. Not strangulation, not knocking them in the head or anything, That punishment for sin was death. That's why he said the wages of sin is death. The foundational principle here, sinners can only be forgiven and made acceptable to God if blood is shed. And this is consistent all the way through the scriptures. Being healed, there's no blood shed there. Getting a prayer answered, there's no blood there. Joining the church, there's no blood there. Getting baptized, no blood there. Communion, no blood there. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Not vegetables, as Cain tried to use. It was blood, that sacrifice of that lamb, like Abel used. Not baptism, church membership, Christian families, all of that. It's blood. And that's the difference between Cain and Abel's sacrifice. They came to God, both of them, but they came differently. One came on it the way he thought was best, and God came the way, or the other one came the way God said, I demand. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and we'll close with this. He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Why was Cain's offering rejected? No blood in a turnip. No blood in cabbage. There is no blood in vegetables. There was blood in that lamb. Abel chose God's way. Cain chose his own way. And we'll continue from here next week. We're going to be here. I'm not running off again. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed.